How is it that Allah commands the disbeliever to believe and he does not want it from him? And if he does not want it from the disbeliever, then is the disbeliever being obedient by doing what Allah does not want from him? This is the question. As we discussed earlier, there is a difference between the will and what Allah wants, and between what Allah loves and accepts. These are fundamental differences. So the first that we should address is that there is a difference between the will and what Allah wants, meaning the will of Allah and what Allah wants. And then also regarding the mahabba, what Allah loves and accepts. Now we know from the discussion also that preceded that everything happens by the will of Allah, including obedience and disobedience. None of these two things would occur except by the permission of Allah. He willed them to occur and they exist by His will. The clear text from the Quran and Sunnah confirm that Allah does not love kufr, does not love kufr or disobedience, and does not love also disobedience, and does not love evil, and that Allah loves what He commands and dislike what He forbids. He wants acts of obedience because He loves them and is pleased with them when they are executed. He, on the other hand, hates acts of disobedience and dislikes those who commit them. His dislike of them does not prevent him from creating disobedience because of the wisdom associated in its existence. Contrary to what people think, the want, between parentheses, does not necessitate love. Meaning if Allah wants something, it does not necessitate that He loves it. The patient wants the medicine that he dislikes. He wants something but he dislikes, and loves the food that may cause him harm. The fasting person loves the food and drink which he does not respectively want to eat or drink. So what one wants does not necessarily mean that it is love to him, and vice versa. If this matter is known to man, then it is perfectly confirmed to Allah. To Him belongs the best example. Know that what is wanted is two kinds. What is wanted is two kinds, and that's, I'm going to put them on the screen, inshallah. What is wanted is two kinds, is twofold. First, wanted for itself, and itself is beloved. This is one thing. What is wanted is twofold. Wanted for itself, and itself is beloved. And the second is wanted for other than itself. The second type is being wanted for other than itself, because it is a means that leads to what is wanted and beloved. It's a means for something else. It's a means to what is wanted and beloved, and therefore itself may not be wanted, but it's a means to other things that could be loved. Man, for example, let's give an example. Man wants good health for himself. Wants good health for himself. For example, man wants good health for itself, rather. And itself is beloved, the good health. He wants to drink the medicine, although itself may not be loved, because it leads to good health. So it's leading to something other than itself, and this other than itself is beloved, in this case the medicine. Similarly, one may dislike to do some of the things that he likes because it leads to to what he hates. It's possible, therefore, to have both, meaning the want and the hate, combined in one thing without being contradictory. This is the point. And inshallah, this is clear. Why? Because they pertain to different objectives. And to Allah belongs the best example. Allah's want is what is loved, and it is wanted for itself. This is one kind. And secondly, in itself, it is not loved, but is wanted for other than itself. Based on this, one can establish the distinction between the want and the love, realizing that they are not the same. Those who think that they are the same make a mistake when they consider that everything that Allah willed to create is beloved to Him. And here is the point. And this is something, unfortunately, spread amongst some mystics from the Sufis, the mystic deviant sects. They think that since Allah willed to create something, then itself is beloved to Him. And that we have shown now, this is not the case. So these mystics come to the conclusion that Allah... So some of the mystics came to the conclusion that Allah loves kufr. Why did they come to this conclusion? Because they say, well, Allah wanted it to be present and therefore He loves it. And accordingly, these people, they say, you cannot say to the kafir, a kafir, because he is beloved, because he is a creation of Allah. In this way, they have nullified the Sharia. Nullified the distinction between the believers and non-believers. So these mystics came to the conclusion that Allah loves disbelief and disobedience and is pleased with evil. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ May Allah. We seek refuge in Allah in that. They think that their best men of knowledge had reached this conclusion based on the fact that Allah is the creator of everything. And to them, the good deed and the bad ones are the same. So the lack of understanding of this issue leads people astray and may cause them to commit actual kufr, disbelief. The Quran and Sunnah and the general consensus of the righteous predecessors is that Allah loves His prophets and His friends and loves what He commands. He, however, does not love the devils and what He has prohibited, although all of these matters are passed by His will and they are His creation. So the will is two kinds. The will to create, and we have to write this down. The will is two kinds. Kinds. One, the will to create. And the second one is the will to command. This latter one, we discussed it. It is His legislative will, Allah's legislative will. And Allah wants that the slave to comply with His command. Implicit in this will is the love and pleasure, meaning in the will to command. Implicit in it is the love and pleasure. The compliance with the command is beloved and pleases Allah. This is what's meant. When Allah commands something based on His will to command, then the compliance with the command is beloved to Him and He is pleased with it. On the other hand, legislatively, disobedience is not wanted by Allah. He does not command it. You see, look at this. Here we have to write it. Disobedience is not wanted by Allah because He does not command it. And when it exists, however, it is related to which will of Allah? To the will to create. Because He created it. He willed it to pass. He willed it to exist by His creation. The will to create. He, the exalted, commands creation with what benefits them and prohibits all that is harmful to them. But there are those amongst his creation whom he wants to create their deeds, and those whom he didn't want to create their deeds. So the creation of deeds is not the same as the commands which explain what is beneficial or harmful to his slaves. He subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, and the uncle of the Prophet Abu Lahab and others to believe. And he explained to them what is good for them had they believed. It is not necessary that he helps them on this command, as we discussed earlier last night. He creates whatever he wants based upon his wisdom. He ordered the disbeliever to believe and gave him the fitrah, his natural disposition, and showed him the ways of guidance, and created in him the ability and will. Obeying Allah is a compliance with his commands and not his will. So it is not a contradiction when Allah does not want, based upon his will to create, to have faith from the disbeliever, knowing that there is a definite wisdom, of course, in his will. Certainly the disbeliever does not become obedient to Allah just because he has done what agrees with Allah's universal will, meaning not to obey. It is so because the disbeliever is prohibited and is not necessarily, disbelief is prohibited, and it is not necessary that when he commands a matter, it must be beloved to him. He, the Exalted, has created many evil things which are hated by him. He created them because they lead to many beloved things, the existence of which is beloved to him more than their non-existence. Allah says in this respect, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا for what? لعلهم يرجعون. Contemplate this verse. Evil, sins and disobedience has spread on land and sea because of what the hands of men have earned by oppression and evil deeds, that Allah may make them taste a part of that which they have done for a purpose. What is it? In order that they may return by repenting to Allah and begging His pardon. So Allah willed for this fasad, this corruption and evil to occur and take place, and it is hated to Him. But it leads to many beloved things to Him, and that's why He said, in order that they may return by repenting to Allah and begging His pardon. So evil in itself is hated by Allah because He does not love it and does not love the evildoers. However, it may be beloved by Allah because of certain great wisdom. And this is not impossible to understand. In the chapters we discussed earlier, we have cited the example of the ill person who is given a bitterly tasting medicine. He hates it because of its bitterness, but loves it because of its remedy. To Allah belongs the best example. So this covers that question. The second question: if kufr, if disbelief, is a matter pre-decreed that Allah willed it to occur, then is it imperative that we should not be content with the pre-decree? I will repeat. If kufr meaning disbelief, if kufr is a matter of al-qada wal-qadar, of the pre-decree of Allah, then is it imperative that we should not be content with the pre-decree because it is kufr? Generally, there is no evidence from the Quran and Sunnah which supports the notion that contentment in every matter of the pre-decree is obligatory. It's breaking. I will repeat here, inshallah. Generally, there is no evidence in the textual proofs from the Quran and Sunnah which support the notion that contentment in every matter of the pre-decree is obligatory. As we discussed also earlier, Allah is not pleased with certain matters, though they are part of His creation. He also commanded that we dislike and hate such matters like kufr, disobedience, sins, etc. Definitely, one must distinguish between A, the pre-decree which constitutes Allah's qualities, such as His foreknowledge, His actions, His recordings, His will, which we must accept, be content and pleased with, and with what is preordained. What is preordained, as we discussed also, consists of two things, legislative and universal. We must accept and be content with the legislative part, since it is from the fundamentals of Islam, meaning we have to be content with the commands of Allah. This is His legislation. On the other hand, we must accept part of this universal will, like the favors of Allah, where we should thank Him for it, realizing that acceptance is the basis for giving thanks. Other aspects of the universal will, which are not permissible to accept, include the things which Allah hates, like sins, although they exist by the pre-decree of Allah, meaning that Allah willed them to occur. Other things like misfortunes are permissible for us to accept. The slave of Allah must hate all forms of evil because Allah hates them. On the other hand, the believer accepts the wisdom behind their creation. Another case. What is the benefit of the commandment of Allah when there is a precedence of the pre-decree? And this is also a false question that implies a denial of the wisdom behind Allah's creation of the heavens and the earth, mankind and all that exists. The manifestation of Allah's wisdom in His creation and exposing His slaves to various kinds of tests and trials is a great wisdom which occurs as Allah had preordained. The dealing with all kinds of trials is made known to us by Allah's messengers and by means of His revelations, showing the road to paradise and the road to hell. Had the trials and tests been non-existing and people are held responsible in the hereafter in accordance with the pre-decree, they would have taken an evidence against Allah, of course. How come you, Allah, hold us responsible when, you know, when there is, you didn't show us anything, no messengers, no revelation whatsoever. So I will repeat, had the trials and tests been non-existing, and people are held responsible in the hereafter in accordance with Allah's pre-decree, they would have taken an evidence against Allah. Most glorified is He. Allah the Exalted, brought His creation from non-existence to existence in order to pass upon them the manifestations of His names and attributes. It is from His perfection to make perfect manifestations of His creating, command, rewarding, punishments, abstaining, giving, honoring, humiliating, etc. Question. The fitrah and the qadr. The fitrah and the pre-decree. Do they contradict each other? Some people may ask the following question. How could it be that Allah had preordained disbelief on some people when it is confirmed in the Quran and Sunnah that every child is born on fitrah? First, what is fitrah? Each child is born on what necessitates the affirmation of the Creator, His love and devotion of deen to Him alone. This represents the natural inclination to Islam. This is the meaning of fitrah. When it is said that someone is born on fitrah, Islam, the deen of Islam, or the pure devotion to Allah, it means that he knows and wants his deen as soon as he comes out from his mother's womb. Where is the evidence? Allah says, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. And Allah has brought you out from the wombs of your mothers while you know nothing. The requirements and the necessitated matters of the fitrah gradually develop in accordance with what perfects its nature as long as it is left safe from any modifying environment, the parents and so forth. Similarly, every child has been born loving what suits his body from food and drinks. He desires the milk that suits him and gives him the nutrients he needs. We remind ourselves of the saying of Allah, رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى, as in Surah Taha, our Rabb, the Lord Allah, is He who gave to each thing its form and nature, then guided it aright. The fitrah to the heart is like the agreeable milk to the body. the fitrah to the heart is like the agreeable milk to the body. That's why on the night journey of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Gabriel presented the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with wine and milk, and he sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose the milk, Gabriel said, "You have chosen the fitrah." This is part of a famous hadith, which is the hadith of the ascension, al-Isra, in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Allah the Exalted says, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. So set, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, your face towards the deen of Tawheed. Hanifan, worship none but Allah alone. It is Allah's fitrah. It's Allah's fitrah. It's Allah's deen with which He has created mankind. No change let there be in Allah's deen. That is the straight religion, but most of men knows not. Know not. The creation are not created except on fitrah. And that does not alter. It does not mean that the fitrah itself does not change after creation. In fact, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ clearly explained that the fitrah changes. Regarding this, Allah speaks about the devils, وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ, and I will command them to deface the fair nature of Allah's creation. It's clear that a defacement of Allah's creation is possible, and we see it occurring in several forms today. However, the actual change to something else of creation, such that mankind will be created on other than the fitrah, is impossible. As Allah states, لا تبديل لخلق الله, no تبديل, no change there is in the خلق of Allah, in Allah's deen. Any change from belief to disbelief is possible. Either way of change is in the foreknowledge of Allah and under His will and preordainment. But what's meant here is that the actual change to something else of creation, other, such that mankind will be created on other than the fitrah, is impossible, as Allah stated in this verse, which is Quran 30 and verse 30. The Prophet ﷺ said, there is none born but is created to his nature, Islam. It is his parents. When he is mentioning his parents, meaning that the change generally occurs through the influence of the parents. It's possible, as Ibn Qayyim explained also, that disbelief may be introduced by the influence of other than his parents. The influence of parents during the raising up of the child is the overwhelming one. The Prophet ﷺ is saying, it is his parents who convert him to Judaism or to Christianity or to Messianism. Here it is, just as an animal delivers a perfect baby animal. They have perfect limbs. Do you find it mutilated? You cut their ears. That is after birth. Then Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the narrator of the hadith, quoted the Quran, this verse which we spoke earlier about, فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ. That is Allah's fitrah, which is the deen of Tawheed, in which He has created mankind. No tabdeel there is in Allah's deen. So they, the Prophet's companion, said, what is your opinion about him who dies in infancy? What do you say, O Messenger of Allah, concerning the one who dies in infancy? The Prophet ﷺ said, it is Allah alone who knows best what they would be doing. In this prophetic statement, there is evidence that Allah knows what they may turn to after their birth on fitrah, whether they will continue on fitrah and become mature believers, or they will change and become kafir. All of this is known to Allah before their creation. So it is Allah alone who knows best what or they would be in doing. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, every new babe is born on the creed of Islam. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, every newborn babe is born on the Islam, and he remains on this until his tongue is enabled to express himself. Both of these narrations are in Sahih Muslim and in Sahih Bukhari, all these different narrations. It is in Allah's knowledge, in Allah's writing and preordainment, that such and such person will continue on fitrah or change by means of the preordained means, parents, shaitan, devils, to be a kafir. The Prophet's example in what happens with the perfectly born baby animal is clear. All of this is under the pre-decree of Allah. The case of the boy who was killed by Al-Khadr in the story of Prophet Musa and Al-Khadr in Surah Al-Kahf, you know, Al-Khadr killed a boy and Musa, may Allah be pleased with him, was astonished and told him, أَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا بِزَكِيَّةً بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ. Have you killed an innocent person who had killed none? As we know from Surah Al-Kahf, Surah 18. The case of the boy who was killed by Al-Khadr, by the righteous man Al-Khadr, signifies the issue of fitrah, its change, and also the pre-decree. The boy was born on fitrah. Allah knew and wrote that he will become a kafir, as the Prophet ﷺ explained. He said, ﷺ, as far as the boy that was killed by Al-Khadr, the righteous man, it was written and decreed in the book that he will commit kufr, disbelief. And that had been grown up, and that had he grown up, he would have involved his parents, who were believers, in wrongdoing and unbelief. The boy was not born on kufr, nor was he a kafir before birth. The boy was not born on kufr, nor was he a kafir before birth. He was born on fitrah, and he, had he grown up, he would have changed and became a kafir. Allah knew that such and such an animal will be mutilated, as the example of the Prophet ﷺ explains. It's written that a certain part of it will be cut after its perfect birth. Okay. So the boy was not born on kufr, on disbelief, nor was he a kafir before birth. He was born on fitrah, and had he grown up, he would have changed and became a kafir. Allah knew that such and such animal will be mutilated, as the example of the Prophet ﷺ explains. It is written that a certain part of it will be cut after its perfect birth. The change occurs after the birth. The role of the devils is to push for the change from fitrah to kufr. Among the sayings which the Prophet ﷺ relates from his Rabb is that he said, Allah said, خَلَقْتُ عِبَادِي حُنَفَاءَ. I have created my servants having a natural inclination to know and to worship Allah. فَكُلُّهُمْ, all of them like this. فَاشْتَالَتْهُمُ الشَّيَاطِينَ, but it is shaitan, the devils, who turn them away from the right religion. وَحَرَّمَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ مَا أَحْلَلْتُ لَهُمْ, and make unlawful what has been declared lawful for them. وَأَمَرَتْهُمْ أَن يُشْرِكُوا بِي مَا لَمْ أُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا, and commanded them to ascribe partners with me, although I have brought down no proof to testify that. It means, therefore, that when a person is born on fitrah, he may be subjected to inclinations that will change his fitrah, ending on a state already written and known to Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, by Allah, the one amongst you may do the deeds of the people deserving al-Jannah, deserving paradise, until there remains but the distance of a cubit between him and paradise, but then the writing which Allah has ordered the angels to write precedes, and he starts doing the deeds of the people of the fire, and thus enters it. And he does the deeds of the people deserving fire, until there remains but the distance of a cubit between him and the fire, but then the writing proceeds, and he does the deeds of the people of paradise, and thus enters it. And from this hadith we know, therefore, that we cannot certainly say in any way that this person is from the people of Jannah. If we see him doing all the deeds that would lead to paradise, we cannot affirm that he is definitely going to paradise, because we don't know of the pre-decree regarding this person, because this person may change, and then before his death he will do exactly what Allah knew that he will do, meaning he will act the actions of the people of fire and then dies on it and enters the fire of hell. The natural reasoning confirms that the natural fitrah confirms the fitrah in several ways. Amongst them, if it is proposed that each person should believe in the truth, be truthful, and ask for what is beneficial to him, and on the other hand, it is also proposed that he should believe in falsehood, lie, and ask for what harms him, will find an inclination to adopt the first proposal. This proves that fitrah is a source that necessitates the belief in the truth and seeks goodness, hence admitting the existence of the Creator, knowing about Him, loving Him, glorifying Him, believing in Him, devotion of worship to Him alone. Which one is the perfect objective? To worship Allah as He loves, or to associate partners with Him? Associating others with Allah in worship is necessarily known to be false. It's imperative, therefore, that the fitrah necessitates the tawheed of Allah and His glorification. Also, the fitrah needs what strengthens it. The means that strengthen the fitrah does not produce in it what is not already there. The means help, remind, and strengthen the fitrah. Allah sent the messengers as warners and bearers of glad tidings, calling mankind to what is entailed by the fitrah. In the absence of barriers, the fitrah will respond to the message of the messengers as it entailed by its nature. In the same way as when someone is invited to eat a good and delicious meal, he will accept the invitation as long as there is nothing that prevents him to do so. Similarly, in the signs of Allah around us, the fitrah is strengthened by that. So, inshallah, at this point we can stop, and we have covered three issues. Inshallah, tomorrow we will try to finish the subject, inshallah, by tomorrow. There are three or four other cases related to the matter. And so this concludes, inshallah, the subject today, concerning the pre-decree and certain cases as being discussed separately, as you can see. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to comprehend and understand. And if there is any question, please don't hesitate to ask regarding this subject.